To Luke, the first chapter, and we're going to preach about how the birth of Jesus being foretold today. Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 28, is where we'll take our text today. And if you're there, just say, yay. So two of us are there. When the rest of you get there, let me know. And it's probably on the board, so you could all said yay. Here we go. Here we go. Verse 26, and it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thou cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, that the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Father, today, we thank you for our Savior Jesus. We thank you that he fully met the need of our sinful souls. We thank you that he's fully God and fully man, that he satisfied all the requirements of a Savior. Today, Lord, we are filled with gladness as we celebrate the upcoming birth of our Savior. We ask God today that you'd open the eyes of our heart, help us to humbly submit ourselves unto your word and to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The importance of the virgin birth cannot be under or overstated. It can be understated. It can't be overstated. A right view of the incarnation hinges upon the very truth that Jesus was virgin born. It hinges on that. The Holy Spirit wrought conception through supernatural means. The very nature of Christ's conception testifies of both his deity and his sinlessness. Mary was given a tremendous amount of information and responsibility. Not only would she be the mother of our Lord Jesus, but she would have to bear the brunt of people thinking she had been unfaithful to Joseph. She had to bear the brunt of some thinking she was an adulteress or a fornicator, and to think she was going to have to raise a child. Mary, and I'll probably say this later on too, was probably only between 14 and 17 years of age. Today, that's not so unnormal or so such a thing that would bring so much reproach in our world today. Everybody celebrates the birth of any child, regardless of the reason for that child being born. And I understand it's not the child's fault, but sometimes I think we put too much emphasis on the joy associated with a birth that's out of wedlock. Now, they call me old-fashioned, but we celebrate it to the point that the girls think it's, and the boys think it's all right. And it's still not all right. Now, we're not going to cast anybody out nor put judgment upon them, but I just need you to understand sometimes we celebrate things we hadn't ought to celebrate. That made me judgmental, didn't it? But it's the truth. Now, if I was to have one of my children was to have a child out of wedlock or a grandchild, let me just interject here that I would accept that. I wouldn't like it, but I would accept that fact, and I would love that grandchild and that great-grandchild just the same. But I still would not condone the act that got it here. Okay? You understand the difference? All right. So let's move on. She had to raise a child. Mary's response is classic. Be it unto me according to your word. In essence, she was saying, I accept and I believe what you have said. Now, it was hard for her to do that, but she said, I accept it and I believe it. Be it unto me. Mary was in a situation that made faith absolutely a necessity. And I dare say that if Mary had not believed, had not had faith, Mary would not have been the mother of Jesus. He'd have found somebody else. But he knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing when he sent the angel Gabriel to this particular young lady. Mary had no credentials for being the mother of Jesus. She was a nobody from nowhere. Mary had little training to be the mother of Jesus. Mary would have limited human support for being the mother of Jesus. Why, an angel had to even appear to Joseph in order for him to consent to marry her. There's already a spouse, but he thought privately in his mind, I got to put her away. I don't want to have her stoned. I don't want to divorce, but I've got to do something about this. Because it ain't right. It's going to bring reproach on me and my family. But the angel said, don't do it. Take her for your wife. Mary had to be the one who simply trusts God no matter what. So there you have it. Mary, the nobody, became a somebody. Today we still respect Mary and call her blessed. She was human. She was a sinner like us, but God gave her a very special position. So, I want to read and start here, and I kind of felt like the Lord laid something on my heart, and I hope I can get it across in the right manner. And that's just my opening, and I hope I can get this across in a way that will help hurt you today. No, help you today. They both start with H, so you can understand when you get up my age, you get confused sometimes. And, anyway, verse 28. It's where I want to start today. The angel said to Mary, thou art highly favored. You are highly favored. Mary was favored above all women on the face of the earth at that time. Can you imagine being 14 to 17 years old and an angel of God appearing to you? Out of the blue, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, you haven't been praying for God to do something miraculous in your life, and all of a sudden, I mean, here you are preparing for a marriage if Joseph will ever get his act together. Well, there's waiting on him to get a house built or a room built or get his finances in order. Whatever, Joseph, I'm waiting on you so we can move on with our life. And here it is, an angel of God steps up and says, hello, Mary, you're favorite of God. Yeah, right. I can't even get the guy of my dreams to marry me. You know, and I'm highly favored, but here he is, you're favored. She was favored above all the women on the earth at the time. She didn't seem to be anything special. She was actually from an area of Israel that wasn't very prosperous. They looked down on them people from that area. Do you feel like that sometime? You're one of those people that nobody looks up, you know, nobody's ever going to look up to you. They're always going to look down on you. That's kind of how she felt, I think, sometime where she was from. She was very poor. She had little prospect of being anything more than a hardworking wife and mother. She had no position. She had no wealth, nor did she come from a family with any prestige or honor in the community. She was just Mary. Mary is Mary. Nobody special. God said, you're favored. Not just favored, highly favored. This young girl was highly favored. She found favor with God. She found grace in the eyes of God. This little young, humble girl from Galilee. Her humble and godly life pleased God to such an extent that he chose her. He chose her for this special task. She was more special than any of us could ever imagine, more special than she could ever imagine. She had a place in God's heart that none of us have ever actually had. Think about it. I mean, you've been chosen. I mean, you know, some of us have been chosen to do things, and maybe you've been chosen to do something of God, but none of us will ever be chosen, thank the Lord as a man, but we'll never be chosen to bear a child for God. And none of you will either. None of us. Because it's already been done. Just need to be done once. He's here. He's already came. He's done his job. He's back in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for us to come there one day, making intercession for us in the meantime. And so she found grace. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and you can read the rest of the scripture back up and read it if you want to, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for unto every good work. See, in God's kingdom, there are vessels, external and visible, that on earth there are many vessels that God has placed here. There are vessels of honor. There's faithful believers that separate themselves from evil and hold fast to the word of God. And Mary was such a vessel. What did she do? She separated herself unto God. She shunned the very appearance of evil. She lived for God. Her mind was continually upon the Word of God. Mary had prepared herself to be the mother of Jesus without even knowing it by her godly, devout life. That's how she was chosen. She didn't know she was going to be chosen for something special. She just prepared herself to be used of God in any capacity that God would choose her to be used in. And church, shouldn't it be that way for us today, no matter who we are, young or old? We should prepare ourselves, we should humble ourselves, and we should present ourselves wholly unto God, set apart for His good pleasure. For His work, to do something for Him. We should shun evil. We should hold fast to the Word of God. We should make ourselves a vessel worthy of honor. Amen? That's what Mary did. She didn't know if anything would ever come out of it. She didn't do it because she thought there would be some prestige in it. She didn't do it because she thought there would be honor in it. She didn't do it because she thought she might be elevated or promoted by it. She did it because she loved God. Regardless of the outcome, God, I'm going to serve You. Regardless if I ever get out of this poverty-stricken area and move on with my life, I'm going to serve You. Regardless if I have a job or I don't have a job, I have wealth or I don't have wealth, I have a nice home, I don't have a nice home, I'm going to serve You. And so she prepared herself for God. She didn't care. And so she became a vessel of honor. Secondly, in verse 29 through 33, we see that there's an announcement of the angel. And it says this, and when she saw him, she was troubled. First off, she was highly favored, it said, but then she saw him and she was troubled with the saying and cast her in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said, and you go on and read it there, but here's what I wanted to think about. The angelic announcement brought apprehension. Apprehension. She says, you say what? It troubled her. I'm favored of God, and then I'm going to do what? Can you imagine the angst that this young lady had? You're telling me I'm going to get pregnant? I've never been with a man. And although I'm just 14 years old, I know that there's a biological way that you get pregnant, and it's not just because something overshadows you. Something else has to happen. And you're telling me I'm going to be pregnant with the Son of God. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's going to hover over me. Can you imagine the apprehension she had to have over that? She was very troubled at that word. She was not even married yet, and there was no way she was going to have a child. No way. She was already engaged to a man, and although the wedding date had not yet been set, she was already betrothed or engaged. And when they got engaged back in those days, it was just as if they were married, except they weren't. Understand, their devotion to that the person they'd been engaged to was as if they were already married. They weren't checking out anybody else. They weren't wondering if they could step up somehow or another and get somebody better, more wealthy, better looking, you know. They weren't doing that. When they were espoused or engaged, that was it. And they could not even not become unengaged without a divorce. It was that serious of a business to them. It's not that serious to us today. I mean, you know, hey, I'll get married. If I don't like what I got, I'll get rid of him. Get me another. Well, young ladies, you ought to think that over. Before you get married, make sure it's the right one. Amen? Get the right one the first go around. It's a whole lot easier. I know some right now going through divorce, and it's not easy. And it gets ugly fast. Find the right one the first time. If you have made that mistake, I'm not mad about it this morning. I'm not judging you today, but I'm just saying make the right decision. Hey, if you want to copy somebody, copy my wife. She made the right decision the first time. Or copy Robbie's wife. She did pretty good the first go around. Although we was all wondering about that long-haired, hippie-looking dude she was trying to marry off to. Now he's got more hair on his face than he does on his head. Bless his heart. No, I'm just trying to be funny, but you know, guys, this woman was very apprehensive about this. She was chose to do something special, and here she was. How can I do that? Having a child out of wedlock was going to be devastating to this young godly woman. But she was devout. She loved God. She wouldn't do anything against Joseph, her spouse, nor against God. And she knew that was sin. And so she wasn't going to do it because she had dedicated herself to the Lord. It would bring reproach not only to her, but to her family. And to the family of the one she was going to be married to, it was a reproach. Her life would be a train wreck with life-changing ramifications if she got pregnant without being married. Can you imagine the apprehension that she had? You tell me I'm going to do what? This is messing everything up. Do you understand what you just did to my life? If this happens, you're messing everything up. No wonder she was filled with apprehension. She was a godly person. She not only obeyed Scripture, but her parents, and followed the community customs to the letter. She did everything she was supposed to do as a godly young lady. She didn't deviate from it. That's why God chose her. So she is very apprehensive. Can you imagine what might have been running through her mind? It's like, wait a minute, this is not right. Here was a teenager, engaged to be married, and an angel of God tells her she's going to have a baby. But not just any baby. You're not just any baby. You're going to have the Messiah. Huh? I'm going to get pregnant. And now I'm going to have the Son of God, the one we've been waiting on for centuries. I don't know. She still had to be apprehensive about it. Say, wait a minute. Why me? Why me? Mess somebody else's life up. Let somebody else have the glory. Let them make a statue out of somebody else and put it in a church. Not me. The one who Israel had been waiting on was going to be born of this humble, godly, devout teenager. But yet she presented herself to the Lord holy, presented her body to Him holy, acceptable. No wonder, however, she was filled with apprehension. Her life was normal, and it was planned out, was about to change drastically. You see, God's will always involves blessing and suffering, joy and sadness, success and disappointment. She was experiencing all of it. Thirdly, or number three, not only was she apprehensive, she was confused. That apprehension brought confusion. The first thing she asked, how can this be? I'm confused here. How can it be? She didn't ask for a sign, so this remark does not reflect unbelief, only confusion. Okay, if you say that's what it's going to be, okay, but I'm confused here. Because there again, back to my former statement, it takes a man and a woman to have a baby. How can this be? I've not been with a man. How can this be? She shows a model of faith, even though she doesn't understand everything. Mary will introduce something unknown to the world before or after the birth of the one who is fully God and man. But the angel dispels her confusion with his explanation. And he says, so she's confused here. And the angel says this, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's how it's going to happen. It's supernatural. It's something beyond you and I. It's supernatural. So he will come upon her, and the child will be conceived solely by a miraculous deed of God. That way, he will not just be, this child will be fully God and fully man. As a result, Jesus will be holy, and he'll be free from the taint of sin. Because he's born of a virgin, he'll be free of all sin. It's the immaculate conception that she's going to experience here. Both Matthew and Luke explicitly state that Jesus was born of a virgin. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together." Before they got married, before they consummated their marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And verse 23 says this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God with us." So the doctrine of the virgin birth is being opposed. It's been opposed for centuries, and it's being opposed even today. People don't want to talk about that. Even liberal theologians want to say that there's no such thing as a virgin birth. But we know, if we believe Scripture, we know, I should say, that it is true. And we have to believe it's true. If it's not true that he came to earth, that he came in the way that God said, then we have to throw out all Scripture. Just forget about all of it. There's no reason for us to be here today because it's all a sham. It's all fake. But it's not all fake. It's real. It happened the way he said it would. And so Scripture, if we believe Scripture to be accurate, we must believe the account of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14, and I know Mary knew this Scripture because she studied Scripture. She knew the Scripture. She had been told, therefore, Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. God himself is going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, being God with us. So she knew that Scripture, so she had to rely upon what she knew from God's word to guide her into this truth that she had just been exposed to, been thrust into her life, and so she accepted that. And so, virgin here, this word can mean either a young woman before marriage or just a young woman. And so, Mary qualified. You see, it implies that this girl would remain a virgin until marriage. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And it implies she will not be married until she has the child. or she'll not consummate a marriage until she has a child. And Mary was a virgin and remained a virgin until Jesus' birth. I believe that with all of my heart. The conception of this child came about through a miracle of the Holy Spirit rather than an act of man. So her confusion, the Bible says in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, that's right after he said with your cousin Elizabeth, the old lady Elizabeth, who's not able to bear children, is pregnant, 6 months pregnant. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing's impossible. So her confusion led to submission. She was apprehensive. She was a little bit confused. But she took God at his word. He said, okay, I'll do it. She submitted. According to thy word, verse 38, it says, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Mary submitted herself completely, completely to God's will and trusted his message. She accepted the honor and the reproach that being the mother of the Holy Child would bring. Isn't it a shame that today we don't want to accept any reproach, but we want all the glory? It's the truth. I don't want any reproach. I don't want any sorrow. I want all the joy. I don't want to suffer for Jesus. I want to be blessed by Jesus. That's how we are. We want all the good. And then when the bad comes, it's like, well, what's the deal with this? I'm a Christian. God's supposed to work on my behalf. Well, if I'm not mistaken, he does. The fact is, Romans 8:28 says, and this we know, all things work together for the good, for them that love God, to those called according to his purpose. So you may go through some things, and you may suffer some reproach, but honor comes if you'll serve God. Mary's response of faith was exemplary. I mean, she just said, according to you, according to what your word is, I'll do it. Here I am, Lord, send me. She's like Isaiah. Whom will go? Who's going to go? And who shall I send? And Isaiah says, I'll go. I'll suffer reproach. Whatever it takes to get the word out, I'll do it. And Mary says, okay. Can you imagine being her age? Young, immature, but yet very mature for her age. She says, okay, Lord, according to your word, I'll do it. I'll make myself available. Mary knew that God owed her nothing, but that God had given her much. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. I don't think Mary went back on God all the days of her life. I think she recognized her need for a Savior once Jesus was born and grew up to be a young man and John began to preach the acceptable day of the Lord and say, this is the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. And I think Mary accepted Christ as her Savior, not just her Son, but Savior. She recognized, I'm bearing the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the Savior of the world. And she accepted him. But she was simply waiting at this point on God to bring his promise to pass. I don't know what happened if she knew when the Holy Ghost came upon her. I don't have any clue. The Bible is basically silent about that, but it said the Holy Ghost would hover over her and God would plant the seed. And I don't know exactly what all went on. You can imagine all sorts of things. You can get vulgar with it if your mind is that direction. But I must still tell you, God did what God said he would do, and Mary made herself available, was willing to do what God said. Wouldn't it be something if the young people, or even our older folks in our church today, would be willing to follow Mary's example of chastity, purity, love for God, faith in his word, and a willingness to obey the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't the church grow tremendously? Wouldn't your faith be built up? If we would just be like Mary, Say, okay, Lord, according to your word, be it unto me. I'll do it. We sang them old songs, one of the songs we sing around here sometimes. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to say, I'll say what you want me to say. And all the time we know we're lying. Because we should say, I'll say what you want me to say depending on what it is. I'll go where you want me to go as long as it's where I want to go. I'll do what you want to do as long as it don't hurt. As long as it pleases my flesh. Mary didn't say that. She says, okay, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I submit. I'll go through all. I'll listen to all the gossip of how unfaithful I've been to Joseph. I'll put up with all of it for you because I know you called me. I know you placed me in this position. All of us would do a whole lot better if we'd have the Mary kind of faith. Walk in obedience, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit. We'd all be so much better. In closing this morning, I want to pray for some people before we go home, before we dismiss for lunch. The dramatic events foretold to Mary brought great changes to her life. She was at first apprehensive, which led to confusion, which led to submission. I can only imagine how distraught she must have been to have her life turned upside down. I mean, just totally everything changed. To be found with child could mean divorce and lifelong shame. She could have been expelled from the community, driven away from family and friends. She could have been stoned to death. She could have been left with no way to support herself or the child, but God had other plans. God had other plans. We have to make choices just like Mary. Are we willing to do that? Make choices like Mary? You got to do it. You need to do it. You ought to do it. Why don't you do it? Make yourself available to God. Say, Lord, no matter what the reproach, I'll do it. No matter what the pain I may suffer, I'll do it. Because I count it all joy. I count it all joy to serve you. I was praying this morning and before service, and it's just, there's a sweet, sweet spirit here. I don't know if anybody else experienced that or not, but at my corner of the room, it was pretty good. pretty good spirit here. I didn't really do a lot of praying in my own mind. It's mostly in the spirit. But it's just basically, Lord, just help me to be like Mary. Help me submit to you. Make my life a sacrifice. And it's not just for preachers to do that, to make their life a sacrifice. It's for all of us. Can you imagine what God might do with you if you would submit to His authority? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to direct your path? Guess what? He's not going to ask you to have a child. But He may ask you to birth a ministry. He may ask you to step up and wash a dish. There's no telling what He might call you to do and ask you to do if you just humble yourself, make yourself available, and have a servant's heart. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? There's an old song, Ain't God Good, to give us so many blessings. Undeserving, that's what they are. You ought to praise Him, love, and something or another. Done lost that song too. Isn't it great what God does for us? Why wouldn't we want to submit to Him? And allow Him to use us as a vessel of honor. Praise the Lord. Would you stand?